All right. Well, you know what I'm going to say, so get your Bibles handy and turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. We are going to complete the final part this time of the Ten Commandments, and the parsha is called Bo, because that's the first unique word that appears here. After it says Ve'yamar Yahuwah al Moshe, so and again Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and he said, Bo, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. Now, the real word there, of course, is I've made his heart, which is already stubborn. I kept it stubborn. So he made it kabod, and the heart of his servants, that I might show these, my signs in the midst of them. Now, here we're going to get a hint of one of the things that is going to be the kind of the central theme here as we get to the final of the plagues, and, of course, the first of the real important feasts that are outlined in Scripture, and that obviously we'll also see the parallels in the time of Mashiach. So it's Passover, and we're going to get there, but we see this little hint here. I might show these my signs, and you may tell them in the ears of your son and of your son's son. That is the key to the whole story, the story of the Passover. Tell it. And what I have wrought upon Egypt, Mitzrayim, and my signs which I have done among you and among them, that they may know, right? What are we supposed to know? Ki ani Yahuwah. And Moshe and Aaron did. They went into Pharaoh, and they said unto him, Thus says Yahuwah, Elohim of the Hebrews, How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they might serve me. Otherwise, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, you know when it's going to be, right? Tomorrow, I'll bring locusts into your border. And we're not just talking locusts. We're talking locusts like you ain't never seen ever. They shall cover the face of the earth. No one will be able to see the earth. They'll eat the residue, anything that's left from the hail. They'll eat all that. And they'll eat every tree which grows for you out of the field. Your houses will be filled, the houses of all your servants, the houses of all the Egyptians. Notice he says the Egyptians. As neither my fathers nor my father's fathers have seen, or your father's father, since the day that they were upon this earth to this day. And they turned and they went away from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servant said to him, How long is this man going to be a snare to us? Let these folks go, that they may serve Yahuwah their Elohim. Do you not know? Have you not figured it out yet? And here's this word that is used for the first time in Scripture, that Mitzrayim, Egypt, is destroyed. Now the word is avdech. It's destroyed. Avda. Destroyed. Moshe and Aaron then were brought in again to Pharaoh. He said to them, All right, look, go serve Yahuwah your El. But who is going to go, actually? Give me some specifics here. Moshe said, Well, we'll go with our young, with our old, our sons and with our daughters, our flocks and our herds. We'll go, because we need to hold a feast unto Yahuwah. And he said to them, Now what we're seeing here is a little bit of, let's call it face-saving, right? He said to them, Okay, so be Yahuwah with you, and I will let only you guys go, your little ones. You see that evil is before your face. Now, not so. Just go those that are men. You guys serve Yahuwah, because that's what you seem to want. Then they were driven from Pharaoh's presence. So it's a cop-out a little bit. He wants to bring everybody, and the response is, keep the little ones here, just the men go. And so they left. Yahuwah then says to Moshe, Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail has left. So Moshe did. He stretched forth his rod over the land of Mitzrayim, and Yahuwah brought an east wind upon the land all that day. And all that night, and when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Oh boy, and did the locusts come. The locusts went up over all the land of Egypt. They rested in all the borders. Very grievous were they. Before them, there had never been any locusts like this, nor were there ever any such after them, because they covered the face of the whole earth. So the land was dark. They ate every herb of the land, all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. There remained not anything that was green, not herb nor tree of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Now Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I've sinned against you, Yahuwah your El, and against you. So, sounds like he's going to repent, right? Yeah, sure. Let's see. Now, therefore, just forgive, I pray you, my sin, just this one time, and entreat Yahuwah your El, that he might take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh, and he entreated Yahuwah. And Yahuwah turned an extremely strong west wind. I took up the locusts, drove them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the border of Egypt. But it says Yahuwah, this time, he made chatzach. That's the strengthened form, right? Always says hardened in the English, as you know, but it's strengthened Pharaoh's heart. And he didn't let the children of Pharaoh go. This time, Yahuwah says to Moshe, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness. Chesech. Over all the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. So this is some kind of darkness, absorbing kind of darkness, kind of thing where it sounds like you could light a candle and you still can't see anything. Moshe stretched forth his hand toward heaven. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. No one saw one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel, well, they had light in their dwellings. So Pharaoh called to Moshe, and he said, go, serve Yahuwah, just let your flocks and your herds stay behind. Let your little ones. Also, this time I'm going to let them go with you. Moshe said, you must also give into our hands sacrifices and burnt offerings that we might sacrifice unto Yahuwah our El. Our cattle need to go with us. In other words, there shall not be a hoof left behind. Therefore, we must take all of these to serve Yahuwah our El. And we know not what we must serve Yahuwah till we get there. So we can't tell you, so we're going to take everything. But Yahuwah, in fact, he made Kazakh strengthened Pharaoh's heart, and he wouldn't let him go this time either. Pharaoh says to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself. See my face no more. Now, these are fateful words, too. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. And Moshe then says this, you've spoken well. I will see your face again no more. And he's right. Now, we're going to get kind of a continuation of the story, but with a slight twist at this point. Yahuwah now says to Moshe, just one more plague am I going to bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he is going to let you go. And when he shall let you go, he's not going to just let you go. He is going to thrust you out of here altogether. He will shalak you. Now, Rashi adds one word. He thinks that the Hebrew actually includes an interesting addition to what most English Bibles say. Please speak now in the ears of the people. And let them ask every man of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. It's an interesting twist, I guess you could say, on the understanding. I remember the idea here is that Abraham has been promised. This is a prophecy fulfilled. When these people eventually leave, that are going to be in bondage, Abraham, for a total of 400 years, they are going to plunder the people that kept them in bondage. And so this is, maybe they don't necessarily want to do anything except just get gone. But as it turns out, this is going to be important, and it's also a fulfillment of prophecy. So Yahuwah gave the people favor, it says, in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moshe, he was very great in the land of Egypt. They've been listening. And in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, in other words, they knew when he spoke, you better pay attention. And in the sight of all the people. So Moshe said, thus says Yahuwah, about midnight, I'm going to go out in the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that's behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the cattle, too, the cattle, the sheep, the goats. There shall be in the land a very great cry throughout all of Egypt, such as there has been nothing like it before, nor shall there be anything like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel, in other words, the people that have been set apart, remember, not so much as a dog will whet his tongue against man or beast, so that you may know that it is Yahuwah who puts a difference, a pelah, between the people of Egypt and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get yourselves out of here, and all the people that follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Now, Yahuwah then says to Moshe, Pharaoh's not going to hearken to you. You already knew that, right? My wonders thus may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moshe and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and Yahuwah strengthened Kazakh. He made strong Pharaoh's heart. He did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Well, not yet. The next chapter begins by saying, and again, Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt. And here's what he said. These are the words in red. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So we're talking about the springtime. This is the biblical calendar beginning. Now, you'll notice that there are secular calendars and that there are other different kinds of calendars, and they begin at different times. But this is the one that the Bible actually says, this shall be a beginning of months for you. First month of the year. Speak unto all kol edot of the congregation of Israel, saying, in this tenth day of the month they shall take for them, each man for himself, a lamb, according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, well, then he and his neighbor next to him, his next-door neighbor, basically, can take one according to the number of souls. So if you got more folks, you might need more meat. So take a lamb or share with a neighbor. According to every man's eating, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goat. So it's a first, it's a yearling, but it could be a sheep or it could be a goat. You then keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at dusk. They shall take of the blood, put it on the two side posts and on the lintel, upon the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs. All of those things they shall eat it. Don't eat any of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire, its head and its legs with the innards thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn with fire. And here's how you're going to eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. In other words, you're ready to go. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Pesach LeYehovah. So this is where we get the term Passover or Pesach. This is the meal that's going to be in preparation for the departure. For I'm going to go through the land of Egypt in that night, and I will smite all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgments. And he signs it, of course, Ani Yehuah. Now this blood will be for you a token, a sign, upon the houses where you are. When I see that blood, I will pass over you. There will be no plague upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Israel. Now, this day, he says, shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to Yahuwah. Throughout your generations, you shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever. So there is one of several times we're going to see this understanding. And it's always fascinating to me how people will say, oh, this is all done away with. We don't do this anymore. We got our better celebrations, you know, Ishtar Sun God Day and bunnies and eggs. And we got Christmas. And we don't care about the things he says to do what? Keep as a feast by an ordinance forever throughout your generations. It's pretty clear. This is the one that we're told, memorialize it, understand it, do it forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. However, the first day you shall put away the leaven out of your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from that first day through the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So this is serious. You don't want to be cut off. You don't want to eat the leavened bread. And the first day there is to be unto you a holy convocation set apart. And in the seventh day, a holy convocation, no manner of work shall be done in them, save that every man must eat. That only may be done by you. So, in other words, it is a day where it is okay to cook so that you can have some food. But that's it. It's not a day of other work. And that's first day and the last day of this week. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought you by your hosts out of the land of Mitzrayim. Therefore you shall observe this day. Now notice, what's he going to say? Observe this day throughout your generations by an ordinance forever. The Hebrew word there is huchat olam, forever. That's the second time in just about twice as many verses as he has made this same statement. Observe it, feast forever throughout your generations. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of that month at evening. 7 days, there's to be no leaven found in your houses. Because anyone that eats that which is leavened, that soul, this is the second time he's repeated this, shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a sojourner or one that's born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all of your habitations. You shall eat only unleavened bread. Now, the key word here, the Hebrew word is chametz. And understand that chametz is a living thing. We always talk about this around Passover. Make sure people understand it. Leavening, there are leavening agents like baking soda, and chametz is not to be confused with that. Chametz, again, is a living thing. And the reason why that's important, if you remember, Yeshua says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does that mean? Well, it grows. That's the connection with sin. It is a living thing. And it will grow and it will spread throughout a lump of dough. Baking soda doesn't do that. It's a chemical, and it works by releasing a gas. The living thing breathes and releases gas that works very, very differently. So understand, there's the word here that's used consistently is chametz, or something that is leavened, but it's the yeast kind of a thing. So chametz literally is yeast. So Moshe then called for all the children of Israel, the elders rather, and he said to them, draw out, get your lambs according to your families, and kill the lamb of Pesach. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike the lintel on the two side posts, so it looks kind of like a chet, with the blood that's in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until the morning. So key word, stay in the house. For Yahuwah will pass through to smite the Egyptians when he sees the blood upon the lintel, on the two side posts, Yahuwah will pass over the door and the house there, therefore, and he will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So again, stay inside. And guess what? Here it is one more time. Must be important. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. That's three times now in just less than a dozen verses. And it shall come to pass when you have come into the land which Yahuwah will give you, according to what he has promised, you shall keep this service. And then when your children say to you, and they'll ask you this question, what do you mean by this service? You're going to say, it is the sacrifice, zebach, of the Passover of Yahuwah. That he passed over the houses of the B'nai Israel in Egypt. He smote the Egyptians, and he delivered our houses. And the people bowed their heads, and they worshipped. And the children of Israel went, and they did, as Yahuwah had commanded Moshe and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass then at midnight that Yahuwah smote all of the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of all the cattle. And it says, Pharaoh, now this is a little bit of a Rashiism. Pharaoh rose up from his bed, he notes. In other words, he was sleeping okay. He was having a good night's rest up until this point. But he got up in a panic. He rose up in the night, he and all of his servants. There was a great cry in Egypt. Something is horribly wrong. So he slept well up until the point where he woke up in a literal sweat and a panic of fear. There was a great cry. There wasn't a house in the whole land where there wasn't someone dead. And he called for Moshe and Aaron by night, and he said, get up! Get out of here, so that you can go forth from among my people, both you and the B'nai Israel, go. Serve Yahuwah as you've said. So he has now had it. Time to go. Notice there's no dickering, there's no face-saving. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you've said. Be gone! And bless me also. The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we are all dead. People took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs, they bound them up, and they put them in their clothes upon their shoulders, and the children of Israel did, according to the word of Moshe. And they asked of the Egyptians jewels, things of silver, jewels of gold, and clothing. And Yahuwah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so they let them have anything they wanted. And they despoiled the Egyptians. So they literally took the stuff that they had and they packed it up. The children of Israel then journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, in addition to the children. So lots of people, the mixed multitude. Now notice, we're going to see later in the book of Numbers, as a matter of fact, exactly how many. Remember the number? It's one of those numbers I think we can commit to memory. 603,550, the number of men of fighting age. But that's only the men. You got women, you got children. So the general understanding among scholars is probably three times that or more. So something on the order of 2 million, maybe as many as 3 million people that left from Egypt that night. The mixed multitude, and of course there were people from Egypt too that decided to go with them, they went up also, flocks, cattle, and very much, as a matter of fact, herds and cattle. They baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, because it wasn't leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and they couldn't tarry, nor had they prepared for themselves any victuals. So they took what they had and they went. Now, the time that the children of Israel had dwelt in Egypt here, and this is generally understood to include the time that Abraham came down. So the total time, Egypt, Canaan, that area, was 430 years. It came to pass at the end of 430 years, that self same day it came to pass that all the host of the of Yahuwah went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching unto Yahuwah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This same night is a night of watching unto Yahuwah for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. So there is a tradition, and I don't have a problem with this at all, that particularly some of the rabbis and so forth will say, hey, maybe you want to stay up all night and watch that night. All right, Yahuwah said to Moshe and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Pesach. No alien, no foreigner, nobody that's not part of the mixed multitude here may eat thereof. But every man's servant that he's bought for silver, when you have circumcised him, that is, then he can eat of it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. Now in one house, though, it shall be eaten. You're not to carry forth any of the flesh around outside the house, nor shall you break a bone of it. Kol ha'edot, kol edot, all of the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger who's sojourning with you, and he would like to keep the Passover to Yahuwah, well then let all of his males be circumcised. Let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. But no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. And then it says this. Now here's one of the several places this wording is going to appear in Scripture. One Torah. So it's Torah Achat, shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. So a single teaching applies to all of these folks, all of the people, the homeborn and the stranger that dwells among you. Thus, it says, did all the children of Israel, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe and Aaron, so did they. So it came to pass that selfsame day that Yahuwah did bring the B'nai Israel out of the land of Egypt by their host. And then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said the following, sanctify, set apart to me all of the firstborn. Whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. Moshe said to the people, remember this day, in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand Yahuwah brought you out of this place, there shall be no unleavened bread eaten. This day shall you go forth in the month of Abib. And it shall be that when Yahuwah brings you into the land of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, which he swore unto your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day there shall be a feast to Yahuwah. Unleavened bread shall be eaten throughout those 7 days. There will be no leavened bread seen with you, nor shall there be any leaven seen with you in all your borders. So he's repeating again the importance of this idea of this feast, which is, of course, as you might suspect, it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, it's because of this which Yahuwah did for me when I came forth out of Egypt. In other words, for this purpose is one way of looking at it. I was removed. I was taken out of Egypt so that this would be made clear. Because what? He's telling, teaching, showing us what it means, Ki Ani Yahuwah. This shall be for a sign unto you upon your hand and for a memorial between your eyes, that the Torah of Yahuwah may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand has Yahuwah brought you out of Egypt. And therefore, you shall, what? Shema, right? Keep, hear, obey, do, hearken. Keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be that when Yahuwah brings you into the land of the Canaanite, as he swore unto you and your fathers and gives it to you, that you shall set apart unto Yahuwah all that open the womb. a firstling that's a male, which you have that's coming from a beast, that shall be Yahuwah's. Every firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb. If you won't redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And it shall be, and here we go, here's this question again, that's part of the understanding, usually part of the Haggadah for Passover. It shall be when your son asks you in this time to come, saying, what is this? Then you say to him, by strength of his hand, Yahuwah brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass that Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that Yahuwah slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to Yahuwah all that open the womb that are males, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Now we're going to see this play out again in several different ways over the next several Torah portions, of course. This shall be to you for a sign upon your hand and for frontlets between your eyes. For by strength of hand, Yahuwah brought us forth out of the land of Mitzrayim. So with that, the Torah portion ends. We know that there's, of course, more to the story to come. And we'll get to some of the part that really constitutes the journey next time. But the last verse here is that it's a sign, it's an understanding. By strength of hand, Yahuwah brought us forth out of Egypt. So with that, folks, let me pause. Let's see here. Got a question on the screen. The so-called church says it replaces Israel, and it's wrong, obviously. When the mixed multitude left Egypt, they all became Israel, not anything else. In fact, Israel got into trouble for bringing idols. So that's true. There's not a question in there, I guess. But, it's always interesting. This is one of those great misunderstandings. And I think one of the things that you look at the world today and you say, what a mess. People have not been taught. They don't keep the Passover, for one. How are you going to teach your children, your sons, to do something if they've never done it? And then they don't understand the connections with the Mashiach. That gets twisted. They don't understand Israel and that it's not a political entity or any of that kind of thing. They don't understand the history and how there are literally two wives that come out of what was once this mixed multitude, Kol Israel. But as you know, we're going to see this mixed multitude. It's going to be generations and generations until we get to the place where there is a king over Israel. And then several generations thereafter, David, and then his son Solomon, and then the kingdom splits. So when it comes to understanding all of this, there is a whole lot of scripture, a whole lot of history, and a lot of things that just plain don't get taught that people need to understand so that it begins to fall into place. And then the reasons why he says keep it forever, throughout your generations, and all your dwelling places, that makes sense. Yep. Teach your children.